Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. It is 508, 82 degrees on this Tuesday, April 29th, 2025. How's everybody doing today? If you're just joining us for the third hour of the Rob O'Donnell Show, you missed a lot today. You could use that Odyssey app to do the rewind feature, go back to the chapters, and check out what you missed and look at the chapter title. If it interests you, click on it, and you can just play that chapter or listen from the start. Pick up where you left off. It's a lot of good things on that Odyssey app. You could get it at your app store, whichever phone or you use, Apple, Google Play, anywhere you get your apps from. It's a good asset to have. Works good with your CarPlay and your cars. It's all get a nice clean signal wherever you're at digitally, so it's nice and clear. Check it out. How's everybody doing today? So I was able to get my grass cut for the first time yesterday, which is, there were spots where it was getting up there. And what aggravates me, and I have overachieving neighbors, I guess, because they all have already cut their grass. One of them has already cut it two or three times. The other neighbor had their crew come in yesterday morning, and then the neighbor to the other side of me was out on his tractor cutting his grass. So I was like, I got to get on it. Had the opportunity yesterday. So I figured if my tractor, because I haven't started it, it's been in storage for the winter. I said, if it starts up, you know, I could cut my grass, relax, and look at a new lawn. And if you saw the pictures, you could see what it looks like on my Facebook page. Looks good. Enjoyed it. It does truly relax me. It's funny because I had a ride-on tractor lawnmower with a 60-inch deck, and it used to take me between 4 and 4.5 hours to cut my lawn. I have a commercial zero turn now where it takes me just under 2 hours to cut everything. And by that, I mean everything. Sometimes I can get a little quicker, but this was the first one. You know, there were still twigs and sticks down I had to avoid. But it was the first cut of the season. I went down to the shed, opened it up, checked everything. Usually I got to take the battery out and charge it and get it ready. Started right up. And I was like, that's a good sign. It's a sign that I'm going to have to be working for the next 2 hours cutting my grass. That's what the sign was. But I got out and I cut the grass, got it all squared away, and it looked good. You know, that accomplishment. I know it's a menial chore that you have, but you feel good after it's done and you look at your property, what you own and you worked hard for your entire life to have. It looks good when it's nice, that fresh cut that's out there. Everything looks good. And then I realized all the other stuff I have to do with the property. You know, I have to get grass seed down. I have to put grub control down. The ticks are bad this year. I'm hearing that everywhere. So if you deal with that, one of the best things I had for ticks on my property were free-ranging chickens. As long as I had free-ranging chickens, I did not have a single tick anywhere on my property. And I've always had dogs. Not an issue. But, you know, once they went by the wayside and it's, there was just my wife and I, and there's really no need for free-ranging chickens. We still have the coop, but, those ticks are an issue. So you got to deal with them on that level then. So, you know, I got that out of the way. And it was just a good, meaningful afternoon to where I was able to get these things done. So hopefully, I know you guys and girls in the valley, your grass had to be cut a while ago. But up in the northern tier of Lackawanna County, it's just this past week, the warm weather kind of spiked everything to grow. And it was growing in patches, depending on which grass is where. I have a lot of clover in my lawn, so that was that stays pretty low to the ground till the season really gets going and we get a lot more rain. But the skunks and the possums and everything else, because of grubs, really did a number on some spots, so I got to get that grub control down as well. So that's where we're at there, and that time of year, I guess, and then like somebody said, because my pool is still covered, it's time to get the cover off the pool soon, and I think only once I've opened a pool after Memorial Day, and not long after. Usually, I've always had it open by Memorial Day. This is going to be another, it'll probably be the week after Memorial Day this year, because I'll be out of town for the week prior and Memorial Day weekend for my daughter's graduation. We'll be out of town for that. That's the end of May. We'll keep you in touch with that, see what's going on in my absence here. But looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time. So this dramatic DEA raid of this underground nightclub frequented by MS-13 and Trendyaga gang members that arrested more than 100. There's more to the story here, and this is from this past weekend. It was an early morning raid. More than 300 members of law enforcement officers from federal and local were involved in the operation. They seized drugs, weapons from the underground nightclub Sunday morning in Colorado Springs. You know Colorado Springs, where they said these gangs don't exist? It was all made up and nonsense. Yeah, well, they arrested an early morning club in Colorado Springs with a total of 114 illegal migrants that were detained at the raid at the underground club, allegedly frequented by members of MS-13, Trinidad Agua, and other gang-affiliated members. Attorney General Pam Bondi said federal agents took matters into their own hands after learning that there had been more than 170 complaints to 911 about the club in recent years. Could you imagine being a tax-paying resident of Colorado Springs, seeing this, because we all know what we see and what we don't see when you live in these areas, seeing this gang activity, this illegal activity, this violent activity, this illegal club operating at all hours of the night into the morning. 170 complaints made to 911 and nothing happened. Your officials get on TV and say, there's no gang problem here. There's no illegal immigrant problem here. There's nothing to see here. Move along. And yet you're looking out your window. You're being woken up and seeing it each and every day. Could you just imagine going through that? Wouldn't you think it would have been a red flag? Nothing happened. Guns, shootings, aggravated batteries, nothing happened, the attorney general told the press. Federal officers could be seen breaking a large front window of an unbranded building as people flee into the night, many wearing outfits suitable for a nightclub. There were people dressed to the nines coming out of this thing, and it's kind of hard to run in heels for some of them, according to a video posted by the DEA, because they were recording this. What made this even more egregious is over a dozen active duty military service members. Were working as security guards at the nightclub players during the raid. Over a dozen active duty service members. What's happening inside the significant drug trafficking, prostitution, crimes of violence? They seized a number of guns in there. We had active duty service members who were running security at the club and involved in some of these crimes. DEA Rocky Mountain Division Special Agent in Charge Jonathan C. Pullen said during a news conference Sunday morning. DEA agents found cocaine and pink cocaine, also known as Tusi. Two people were arrested on an astounding warrant during the raid, according to Bondi. 200 people were inside, at least 114 of them in the U.S. illegally. Just think if this was next to your house, down the street from your house, what was going on. This was happening unfettered until the federal agencies went in, got local authorities. It's amazing this was not tipped off. It was amazing that it actually took place and it was so successful, especially with all the different jurisdictions are involved. Every time you bring a different entity into an operation like this, you take the chance of it leaking out, showing up and there's no one there. I mean, this was definitely a successful operation. Over 200 people inside, 114 illegally, guns, drugs, service members working security. It's disheartening that that's the case. Hopefully they throw the book at them. Hopefully they are charged not only criminally, but also under the UCMJ, which is a lot of times a lot more harsh on them. But it's interesting because up until the year of the election, all of 2024, we kept hearing how there's nothing going on here. It's all an exaggeration. Those videos of the gang members with their long weapons terrorizing an apartment complex, nothing. Nope. That was all exaggerated. And now we find that just a few months after Inauguration Day, a few months after the new year, law enforcement would actually the will and authority, because I'm not going to say that the Colorado Springs Police Department, outside of its leadership, had anything to do with suppressing this, but they're following orders. They're told not to involve themselves in this, not to deal with this sort of thing. And it just goes to show that this was not just illegal immigrants. This was not just a nuisance complaint. This was not just a, you know, a minor, what some would call 311 call. Because when they finally acted upon it and went in there and raided the place, you have 114, yes, illegal immigrants. You have guns. You have drugs. Illegal gang activity. Who knows what else? I'm sure this investigation will be going on. You know, what kind of sex trafficking was possibly going on in this place, or prostitution, or whatever else is found throughout the investigation. So it's interesting that we were told for almost a year that this was made up. I'm looking at President Donald Trump is in Harrison Township, Michigan, speaking to our military members out there, and just invited the governor, Whitmire, up to the podium to speak. She was wearing a hat with a military hat with that unit's insignia on it. And it appears to be a nice rally going on for our troops out there. Michigan Governor Whitmire speaking at this event. President invited her up, announced her, and stood behind her as she gave her remarks, flanked in the back with our military aircraft and our members of the military, as she was wearing a camo hat and the unit patch, it appears, on the front of the hat. This is ongoing now. If you're near a TV, you can watch it. It's good to see this. Hopefully, I can't hear what's being said, but it's a good sign that, there are people there. One of the big questions, and Jake, you might know this because I really didn't see it yesterday. I wasn't paying attention to a lot of things yesterday. The Eagles visiting the White House. I know there's some people who didn't show up, some people who did show up, and that was a thing. Was Governor Shapiro there?
That is a great question. I'm not exactly sure.
I did not see any pictures of him. He might very well have been there, but I did not see any pictures of him there. And, I was told, because I know Chris Chermak, our Lackawanna County Commissioner, he was there. I know Dave McCormick was there. I think John Fetterman was there, but I did not see him as well. Because I don't know if he's an Eagles fan or not, but yeah, I know he voted for supported them in the Super Bowl. And I know the congressman was there, Bresnahan and Muser. I do not know if the governor was there. When I found out this event was going on, because I was asked if I was interested in going, and I wasn't. But my question was the governor going to go? And the big answer was, we don't know.
I'm looking on all his social media handles so far, and I don't see anything.
Yeah, I know he was invited. It's interesting that he chose not to go to support the Eagles.
Yeah. How did the mayor say it?
Oh,
Elgsess.
Elgsess.
Yeah,
that's it. You know, I saved that because that's going to be good. I saved that meme because that's going to be good in future endeavors. You know what? Seeing Governor Whitmer there with the president at her military base in her state with the president is a good thing. Seeing Governor Josh Shapiro with the Eagles at the White House would have been a good thing. It's sad that he chose otherwise or probably had a scheduling conflict we'll hear about.
Yeah, just like Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the reason for him, right? Scheduling conflict?
Yeah, I think it was a couple days ago. It was last week. It was a reporter that asked Jalen Hurts, are you going to attend the White House ceremony on Monday? And he just sort of had a bit of a grin and walked away. So,
yeah. I mean, listen, you chose not to go, that's it. But usually you put the team first.
And everyone and majority of the fans that considered Saquon Barkley basically to be God last year, now all of a sudden a lot of them are turning against him because he went golfing with Trump.
Yeah, he's giving it right back, though, so good for him. So, it was a good event. I did see some of it, some of the pictures from it.
I loved how Trump threw a dig at Taylor Swift, too. when they booed her at the Super Bowl, he threw that in there.
Yep, no doubt. All right, well, it's interesting that the governor wasn't there, but there might be the slim chance he was, but I'm sure he would have posted a picture if he was. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. So the report is out on that Army Black Hawk helicopter that collided with the commuter plane at D.C. Reagan International Airport, causing the death of almost 70 individuals, 67 to be exact. It turns out to be pilot error. The pilot, who was the senior officer but was not the instructor, was flying the helicopter. She was told by her co-pilot, who was a warrant officer, who was instructing her for the day, recertifying her in that aircraft, that there was a collision that was imminent, and gave her instructions on how to avoid it. And she, for whatever reason, and we won't know the reason, for whatever reason, did not heed the instructions. Now, there's a lot of back and forth on social media about why and who and where, and that she was the senior officer, so why would she take orders from, you know, a junior officer? Because the junior officer was the instructor of the flight. That's just the way it goes. You could be a junior officer, but if you are the instructor while you're in that aircraft, you are in charge. You are the instructor. Now, she was in the pilot seat because that she was qualifying for, and the instructor was sitting in the co-pilot seat. Just like if you're learning to fly a military jet in a two-seater, your instructor is in the back seat. You as the student are in the front seat. Now, you're the pilot of the plane. You are in charge, but you are heeding the instructions of your instructor at all times. It didn't appear that that was the case here. It appears now this has been, you know, there were issues. Was their equipment calibrated properly to give the proper altitude? Was there something else that came into play? Based on the audio recordings, there was instructions from the instructor pilot, the co-pilot, who was the warrant officer on this flight, to tell her to take evasive maneuvers, and for whatever reason, those instructions weren't followed. Seconds later, and I mean seconds later, the collision took place where she flew the plane into the underside of the passenger aircraft, causing that to flip over and dive into the Potomac River. A tragedy that could have been avoided. I'm sure this will be more in-depthly detailed out. One of the good things about learning from experiences like this is when this report is finalized, it'll be available for all military Black Hawk helicopters to review what went wrong, to read the report, to read the investigation, to see where the failures took place firsthand. And that's a good thing for future pilots. It's just a tragedy. And for something as simple as not following emergency instructions. And listen, when you are learning to fly one of these aircraft, be it a military Black Hawk, be it one of our fighter jets, be it anything, you are versed on emergency procedures time and time again at all times. And you must ramble them off at any given time. You could be walking down the hallway and one of your instructors sees you and says, give me the emergency protocol for, you know, a left turbine failure on our main engine, you know, whatever it may be. And you need to rattle off exactly what you need to do, what buttons you're pressing, what process you're doing it in. And if it's not 100% correct, you fail. Before you take a flight, even, they sit you down and they go through maybe a half dozen to a dozen emergency procedures. And you need to ramble off a list of sometimes 40 or 50 things that you need to do. And it needs to be second nature. And not only that, is they're going to sit you in a chair and they're going to watch to see you in the air, because you're not an aircraft, flipping the switches that you should be flipping and doing what you should be doing with your hands during that procedure. And it's ingrained into you to where it's second nature, to where if that emergency happens, you're not thinking what you should do. It comes naturally. That obviously didn't take place here. And it's a tragedy all around. You know, not assigning blame here. It was pilot error. And for whatever reason, did not heed the instructions that were given to them. And because of that, 67 people lost their lives. And it's just a tragedy all around. It's 5:32 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 5:37 here on this Tuesday, April 29th, 2025. So the conclave to choose a new pope will begin May 7th, as per the Vatican. It sets off a very traditional chain of events that we have seen before, if you follow the Roman Catholic Church. The papal conclave is a closely guarded gathering of cardinal electors, all serving cardinals under the age of 80, to elect the next pope. The exact number varies, but there are currently 135 cardinal electors eligible to convene at the Vatican from around the world to choose the successor to Pope Francis. At least one Italian cardinal, Angelo Becciui, has said he will not enter the conclave after being sentenced to 5.5 years in jail by a Vatican court in 2023 for embezzlement and fraud. We talked about that last week. Although he's denied all wrongdoing, he has been found guilty and he remains free pending an appeal at the Vatican court, but said on April 29th that he would not take part in the conclave. Of all the current cardinal electors, a large majority, 108, were appointed by Pope Francis during his 12-year papacy. They came from 71 different countries, including 10 from the United States. North America has 16, 10 from the U.S. Central America has 4. South America has 17. Africa has 18. Italy has 17. Europe has 53. Asia has 23. And Oceania has 4. Again, this will begin on Wednesday, May 7th. Under the church rules, it must start 15 to 20 days after the pope's death. And Pope Francis died on April 21st. Ahead of the conclave on May 5th, Vatican officials and employees will help support the process, including other clergy, security personnel, drivers, cleaning crews, doctors, nurses, must take an oath of secrecy. They will have rounds of votes until a three-fourths decision is made on who to choose. And then, you have black smoke for them not coming to a conclusion. You have white smoke when a pope has been chosen. No idea how long this will take, but I guess we'll have the smoke watch coming up starting May 7th. It'll be interesting to see how many rounds this takes. The voting process will repeat itself the following day with the cardinals holding 2 ballots in the morning and 2 in the afternoon, so 4 votes a day. If the morning sessions are inconclusive, black smoke will be seen again around lunchtime, early morning in the U.S. East Coast time. If there's still no winner following the afternoon votes, more black smoke will stream early in the evening Roman sky. The longest conclave in history was one that brought Pope Gregory X in 1281. Lasted almost 3 years from the time the cardinals first began their voting. Recent conclaves, however, have lasted just days. Pope John Paul II needed 8 ballots over 2 days to become the pontiff in 1978. His successor, Benedict, was chosen in the 4th ballot after 2 days in 2005. Francis in 2013 needed a mere 5 ballots, with voting taking just 24 hours. So we'll see where it goes. It's 5:41 here at WILK. Let me tell you about the Goodfeet store. And I talked about this earlier today. I made a mistake of not putting my inserts in my dress shoes when I was out of town for an event down in Annapolis, Maryland. And if you have ever been to the beautiful city of Annapolis, Maryland, it's a lot of cobblestone, a lot of uphills, narrow walkways, cobblestone walkways, granite curbs. Beautiful place to be, not if you're not wearing comfortable shoes. And I made that mistake, and I felt it within a day. Later that day, that night, when I got back to the hotel and kicked my shoes off, oh, the arches were just done. Pain everywhere. So what saves me from that day in and day out on a normal day when I'm not absent-minded and forget my insoles? The Goodfeet arch supports. Say goodbye to foot pain. Hello to personalized comfort with the Goodfeet arch supports. There's no waiting. Arch supports are immediately available, so you can experience the difference today with a free test walk. Best part that I love, they're proudly made in the USA. Visit them at 1945 Commerce Boulevard in Scranton. Call them at 570-534-0980 or check them out online at goodfeet.com. Listen, I've used these for the past 2 years now, and I haven't had an issue. forget them for one trip with my dress shoes down in Annapolis, and I had issues. Took about 3 or 4 days wearing my Good Feet Arch supports to make it clear it up, make it go away. That's why I swear by them, and that's all I can tell you guys out there. It's 5:42 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. What about Jake in the control room picking the tunes today? Keep me all motivated. Hey, Jake, what would I do without you, buddy? Oh, so getting some text messages in. Somebody asking some questions about things that we've discussed. So I'll do a little review of what we discussed today. We started off the show at the 3 o'clock hour with the three teens in custody and the life-flighted 12-year-old in Oliphant shooting that happened on Sunday evening. The individual, 14 years old, shooter, under arrest. The two other teenagers also under arrest and involved with that shooting. That 12-year-old was life-flighted. He is in critical but stable condition and is expected to survive from the last statement that I received from the Lackawanna County DA who is handling this case. So we're going to follow this and basically gave a lecture. And you'll be able to find this on the WILK Facebook page and on our X account. My opening monologue on this incident, because it really got to the heart of how parents need to become more involved in their kids' social media lives and lives in general. And not that a lot of you aren't, but when situation happens like this, where a 14-year-old shoots a 12-year-old in the chest at one of our streets in one of our local neighborhoods that we consider and deem safe, shakes the entire area. So as the area, we need to come together to do everything we can possible. And that involves us getting involved in our children's social media platforms and lives so we can help protect them, so we can be there as a guardrail to, if something bad comes along, something bad tries to influence them, or they're starting to get their feet wet into a direction that we don't agree with, we can put the brakes on that and get involved and hopefully change that direction early on. And being involved in their social media, if they're getting messages or peer pressure from friends, you were also able to intervene. So we really got in-depth in that in the 3 o'clock hour. We talked about the burning body found in Hazleton and the investigation going on with that. Not a lot of good comforting news coming out of our area. The beginning of summer, we're looking forward to things, kids getting out of school and such like that. We start seeing shootings and burning bodies, and it really gives us pause and concern. So I made it a point to highlight that today. We talked about the mistake in the mail-in Republican ballots in certain areas of Scranton, 545 of them. How it was a printer's error. That's been made perfectly clear. There's been scapegoating, talking about a lawsuit that delayed the printing of that specific ballot because it was there was a pending lawsuit. That has nothing to do with the wrong file being selected to print, those wrong ballots being sent to the Lackawanna County Election Office to stuff into envelopes and review. It has nothing to do with those failures. So the mere fact that anyone's even pointing a direction at that is comical, if it wasn't so sad. The big question is, what systems will be put in place, what policies, what checks and balances will be put in place to see this doesn't happen again? How did the printer have last year's file on their system that mistakenly ran instead of this year's? And who's paying for the duplicate mailings and ballots? Those are the questions I had earlier today. Our Congressman Rob Bresnahan joined efforts in Washington to sign on to a bill that installs term limits for members of Congress. A good thing. 87% of Americans agree with term limits. So this is a true bipartisan effort that needs to be pushed forward. If 87% of adult Americans want term limits in Congress, why don't we have term limits in Congress? I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, socialist, or independent. I do not care. If 87% of us agree that there should be term limits in Congress. Why are we not demanding this from everybody? Why aren't we coming together with all our differences that they're out there? And, you know, differences are good. But why aren't we coming together on something like this and saying, you know what, you want to do something for the voters, you want to do something for people, we demand that this get passed now. And give them a year to do it. And if you don't do it, well, then we're going to vote you out. All of you. Anyone. And I don't care who you are. I don't care what party. We're going to band together from all different parties because that's their biggest fear, you know, that we actually overcome our differences and actually work together. And we're going to make it a point to put you on a list and make sure you're voted out of Congress. So 87% of adult Americans agree that there should be term limits. This should be an easy no-brainer. And we have to ask ourselves, if that's the case, why hasn't it been passed yet? And why is more not getting behind it now? Why isn't this their leading effort? A win. Let's start somewhere with a win and then move and negotiate differences to where we can find some middle ground. So, that's what we talked about there. The self-proclaimed Hamas operative who was a member of the U.S. Air Force in Western Pennsylvania. Yeah, he lied to the Air Force, got in. I guess it's not a red flag that he had dual citizenship with Lebanon and the United States, but that's not uncommon. There are dual citizenships, but they do scrutinize that more when you fill out your, I think it's an SF 87 or 86. It's the form you fill out for your secret top secret clearance or secret security clearance. This guy had a whole nother life. He was a member of the Pennsylvania Air National Guard, which is the National Guard for the Air Force in Western Pennsylvania, and he planned to make pipe bombs and detonate them. He was also arrested for defacing synagogues out there. So we talked about that a little bit today. We talked about that Army Black Hawk helicopter in D.C., that fatal crash with the passenger jet, where the passenger jet fell into the Potomac along with the helicopter, killing 67 Americans, 67 people. Don't know what exactly they were. Was pilot error. The pilot was given instructions by their co-pilot, who was the instructor on that flight, to take evasive action. For some reason, she did not and flew into the passenger jet, killing both air crews and passengers on both aircraft. We have the incident out in the Red Sea, where the USS Truman, one of our Nimitz-class aircraft carriers that are out there in the Red Sea, defending maritime shipping, and been taking incoming fire from the Houthis, and I believe since March there's been 800 bombings of the Houthis by the carrier strike group out there. So they're finally able to fight back. Was taking evasive maneuvers while a jet was being maneuvered, an F-18, $60 million aircraft was being maneuvered by an aircraft tug in the hangar bay of that, and that's the bottom area where they do the maintenance work on the aircraft, and there's an elevator that brings it up to the deck, and then they can maneuver it on the deck. While they were moving this aircraft, the Truman had to take evasive action, and they do take aggressive evasive action when there's reports of incoming in the air. And by incoming, I mean these weapons that the Houthis are firing come only within miles of these ships before they're destroyed. But you still have to take the precautions as if it was going to make it through and not be destroyed by your countermeasures. And an aircraft carrier, believe it or not, the size it is very maneuverable. It's one of the fastest ships we have, even though it's, you know, huge. It does have a very powerful nuclear reactor that can move it and turn on a dime. And that's what it did. They lost control of this aircraft that was under tow, and it fell out of the hangar bay elevator into the ocean and was lost. It sank. This is the third mishap of the USS Truman. They had the one where the F-18 was shot down by the USS Gettysburg as mistaken as an incoming missile. They had the collision with a merchant ship outside the Suez Canal. And they had this now where an aircraft fell overboard. They have been out there for, I think, a little over 8 months. And it's been extended a little longer. We'll see what that means and when it's to return home. But I would imagine under the tempo from the fleet admiral who was just out there, and this is public from military.com, he said the tempo of the USS Truman, the carrier strike groups that are out there, is the most up-tempo any carrier has been since World War II. So that's how busy things are out there that's going on. So that's a little from little news from out there. Looking at some one of my Air Force texters keeps saying tractor. The Air Force calls the cart that drags the airplanes around a tractor. The Navy calls them aircraft tugs. So that's the back and forth we get. So what do we got here? Hey, Jake, hope the NHL New Jersey Devils play Iron Maiden, the Trooper, to start game tonight, down 3-1.
Nice.
That's
hope it provides some good luck.
There you go. Some advice on how to beat traffic. Sit tight and let all the jerks drive and do your homework for the next day. Well, I appreciate that. That's good. And I appreciate all the interactions in your text. Hey, tell a friend, tell a family member about the Rob O'Donnell Show, 3 to 6 here on weekdays. Jake and I can use the company. It's 5:57 here on WILK. We'll be back to close it down in just a minute. Well, that's it for the Rob O'Donnell Show today on this Tuesday, April 29th, 2025. I was just looking at the weather, and in western Pennsylvania, there are two lines of severe thunderstorms moving through the state. They should get to us here somewhere between 9:30, 10-ish. That's an estimate. So if you got anything that could fly around outside, or just be prepared, about at 9:30, 10, we're going to get some severe thunderstorms moving through our area here. God bless. Be safe. We'll see you tomorrow.